Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
John Downing with us from the Irish Independent for Call from the Dáil. John, good morning to you and thanks for joining us in the programme this morning.
Hello, Jerry. How are you?
I hope the air conditioning in Leinster House is working, John. Has it been upgraded?
We all hope. It's a hot gaff when the mercury climbs. It's an old building, you know, and it attracts and holds heat.
Yeah, it certainly does, that's for sure. And to that we go to first John on the programme this week. Because of the situation regards to the heat and the heat across Europe, it fed into a debate on the introduction of the second stage of legislation designed to allow the government to bring in, you know, liquefied natural gas storage. Now, this is planned for County Clare. It's a strategic gas reserve. But there are major concerns. It was introduced by Timmy Dooley in the Dáil yesterday, and there was a response from several TDs. We're going to play a bit of response from Deputy Pat Daly, climate spokesperson for Sinn Féin. You'll hear Roderick O'Gorman here as well with their questions and concerns, and Jennifer Whitmore of the Social Democrats. Have a listen.
Energy security Minister is one of the most fundamental responsibilities of any government. The promise that we will be able to keep the lights on and keep the country's energy system powered. In this increasingly volatile world, we are trying to meet our energy needs, but the government has utterly failed. And so what we're presented with then is a rushed, flawed solution that's in danger of shifting the financial burden for the government's failures onto ordinary households. The government is rushing through this legislation without time for proper democratic oversight or scrutiny. The deadline for committee amendments was yesterday, before even the second stage had been read. So that's not about guaranteeing Irish energy security, it's about managing the failure of this government, the failure to invest properly in offshore wind, to make the necessary progress to ensure energy independence and energy security. So, despite being warned of the dangers of this for years, Ireland continues to rely on imports for approximately 80% of our energy requirements. For years, you have failed to properly invest in indigenous renewable energy, failing to build a resilient, self-sufficient system. And now, ordinary people have to step up. Instead of fixing the structural issues, this bill doubles down on the same approach, locking us further into fossil fuel dependency and charging the public. It's a fundamental breach of trust, and families, workers are already struggling under the weight of the highest energy bills in Europe. We have more people now and owing on their bills, and they are owing on their bills for longer. In Sinn Féin, we are clear there must be no increase in household energy bills to protect Ireland's energy security.
I think the other issue that I do want to raise with you, and I was very surprised, I think there's a general sort of lack of trust with the department and with the government in this regard. I think, and I know I certainly, you know, was very sceptical and was really concerned that essentially this was a way of allowing for commercial LNG facilities to begin. You know, the pulling back on the frack gas policy, and then, you know, when the minister didn't really engage in relation to the planning issues down in Shannon, you know, my sense was that really this was, I suppose, a Trojan horse to allow for a commercial facility to operate.
Thanks very much, Sharon. This is the second piece of legislation I'll discuss this week which will act to tear holes in our country's climate ambition. And it's doing that on a week where across Europe we're seeing the realities of the scale of climate change in terms of the heat impact on so many countries, making life intolerable for millions of people. And I think the irony of this is lost on the government that is rushing through this piece of legislation and the airport cap legislation with the minimum of debate.
Yeah, there you go. That's just some of the responses from the opposition spokespeople.
Roderick O'Gorman there, the leader of the Green Party, the last voice there, Jerry. Yeah, and this is a big one. And of course, it has resonance for the project in Ballylongford as well. It's basically just across the Shannon estuary from it. A tricky one in Clare for Timmy Dooley, his constituency. And the arguments are all there. There wasn't a puff of wind all week, really. And that had wind generation, while it's increasing dramatically, there was very little. And there's a little noticed story here, actually, Jerry, on last night, Airgrid, the crowd that managed the electricity grid, they admitted that they called in a temporary emergency electricity generation unit for a 4.5 hour period on Wednesday because there was insufficient power available. And there's a number of reasons for that. It's the time of year when normally big power stations get their overhaul and their routine maintenance work done. So some of the gas generating stations were out of use, and there was a huge surge in power in the UK. Of course, we import electricity from the UK quite a lot via an interconnector from Scotland. Air conditioning and fans and the like, that puts a spike in consumption despite the intense heat. So it showed us really how tight the margins are here at the moment in terms of power. This is going to be with us again.
You're talking about this is going to burden the already overburdened electricity customer in the country, and Sinn Féin are concentrating on this. But is there part of the problem here on all sides? Number one, there are ideological positions all over the place when it comes to environmental, and we've seen a 20-25 year saga now of planning and issues in regards to LNG in the first place arising here in Kerry. Now we have the government eventually going, right, we're going to put one in, it's going to be state led, and whatever commercial operators want to do, it's up to them. That's the planning system. But is that part of the reason why we are where we are with a grid that isn't backed up, with security that isn't there at all times? Because of the delays and rows over all of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is easy for Sinn Féin, easier for them to call for cheaper energy when they're in opposition. The reality is that Sinn Féin has imposed the carbon tax on grounds that, We're in favour of that sort of thing, but not this particular tax, not this way and not now. So there is an element of having a shilling both ways there as well. The immediate reality is that incident that I was talking about, that admission from Airgrid, does tell us that the lights just could go out on us. Most surprised would we all be. There is a very tight margin there. There isn't an abundance of power.
Yeah, and is there... I know we have a spread out population and we have a dispersed, one of the most dispersed populations. That adds to the cost. But is that an indictment of the government and previous governments that at a time when we're paying the highest electricity prices in Europe, we can't fully rely on our grid? Or is that being unfair on them?
I think, yes, that point is there to be made. They would argue that there has been huge progress on renewables, and a very high proportion of our energy comes from renewables, or an increasing proportion. But yes, the short answer is yes, there has been a failure to plan. There has been a failure to implement plans. Sometimes we're good at plans and announcements and rather sluggish on delivery, so that we are in a tight corner here. There is no doubt about it.
John, how tight a corner are the government on when it comes to deciding on what to do with the diesel and petrol taxes? Does the government stick or twist on this one at the end of July? It's coming up now because of soundings and different issues. Simon Harris has been talking about it as well.
Yeah, the main difficulty is that the Dáil will be gone on the 16th of July, and the reductions that were put in on diesel and petrol expire on the 31st of July. So Piers Doherty, the Sinn Féin finance spokesman, has been telling the Dáil that from August the 1st, petrol could go up by 27 cents and diesel by 32 cents. Meanwhile, the government are kind of playing a game of Russian roulette, or maybe Iranian roulette, or Donald Trump roulette, because they're saying, look, the international market prices for energy, for petrol, diesel, oil, generally going down at the moment. So one could meet the other. But Simon Harris, the Minister of Fine Gael, leader Minister for Finance, has promised that they won't, this thing won't automatically fall off a cliff. So they're to discuss it on Monday and possibly make a decision at Cabinet on Tuesday. Some kind of phasing in. Of course, we've no guarantee that this rather shaky peace deal with Iran will persist. And even if everything was hunky-dory and the Strait of Hormuz, which we all found out about its pivotal role in the whole thing, if that was to be opened up and all the rest, it's still the whole distribution system is such a mess that it would take a while for things to come back into kilter anyway. So there's an awful lot of variables, a lot of balls in the air on this one. But the government are going to have to try and put some certainty into things. They're going to have to try and talk about some kind of phased renewal of the tax regime to be offset by world market prices. It's a pretty fine judgment, but they'll have to try and get on with it. Yeah, the main thing is to try and put some certainty into the markets, you know?
Into the mix, that's for sure. Okay, John, stay with us. We're going to talk more about this and other things. If you have a view, get in touch with us on the show. We'll have more on Call from the Dáil after we take these.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Now, John, all eyes and ears on Croke Park tomorrow evening at 6:15 for Kerry football fans. But the issue of GAA Plus will not go away. It's featuring in the Dáil. It's featuring in Kerry County Council as well. Every Kerry TD has been advocating for GAA. Please show more Kerry games free to air. Kerry's been particularly hard done by this year. It's just the way it's worked out, and the games are being picked, and the 7-day turnaround for this weekend, and all of that. Mike Kennelly wants every Fine Gael councillor in Ireland to copy Kerry County Council and pass a motion calling on the GAA to broadcast exclusively free to air.
Yeah, this and you won't see quarter past six tomorrow, Tyrone and Kerry. You won't see it unless you have a sub to GAA Plus, or unless your local pub has a sub to GAA Plus. So I suppose we'll be back again with Ambrose and Co. On Radio Kerry. But yes, Mike Kennelly of the Stall, or maybe should I say Mike Kennelly of the Stall Emmets, making a very eloquent argument, saying, look, it's actually beyond the fella in the green and gold hat wanting to see his team play. It's about fairness and it's about social inclusion. On the other hand, I've personally heard Jarlett Burns, the president of the GAA, address this topic and say, look, we have coaches, we have hundreds of coaches in pretty much every county training young lads in hurling and football. And if we lose the GAA GO revenue, we have a drastic reduction in those numbers. So also, you would have to go beyond and say, well, do you know what? Where does this come from, this notion that you should be able to see everything free on free-to-air television? I mean, you don't get it in soccer and you don't get it in rugby. You know, if you're trying to follow Munster, as I have been, you know, for much of my life, particularly the last 20-odd years, well, you have to go somewhere where frequently where they have a sub to one of the sports channels.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the reality. So, John, let me put this to you, playing devil's advocate. Is this, and the GAA, are they coming under fire partly because this is a handy number for politicians? They can have a go at the GAA, they can look great for the everyone loves to have something for free, so why not jump on the bandwagon?
Absolutely. It's a no-brainer from a politician's point of view. You can become a consumer champion, a sports fan champion, and so on. I mean, years ago, Jimmy Dean had a Hardy annual about banning ticket touts, which used to always make me wonder, what about the publicans around Croke Park who jack up the price of the pint on the big match day? Or the hotels that jack up the hotel prices when the big match is on, or, you know, and so on. You'd wonder, like, you just say, well, the ticket tout is just kind of a barefooted version of that, you know. So these arguments go around in circles. Certainly the pressure is mounting on the GAA, but I think they're usually strong enough not to bend to trends. So I don't see this one going anywhere, to be honest.
There's one option. I can't see this happening either. If you take the argument being put forward to its logical conclusion, we want every GAA game, or all of them, certainly, do away subscription model, everything available to watch for free on free to air. Then what are you not going to fund, is what Charlotte Byrne said.
That's his question, and
in response to Michael Cahill as well, who wants a sports channel for Irish sports, he said, yeah, sure, we'll look at that, but who's going to pay us? Who's going to pay for it? Are the government going to step in and make up the millions of lost revenue? That's the only way I can see the GAA saying, yeah, sure, give us the millions we would have lost, we're losing, and we'll allow that to happen.
That's the way I see it. Actually, Gerald Bourne's arguments, well, it depends. I mean, you look, I won't be able to see Kerry and Tyrone tomorrow evening, and that, is a setback for me. And, you know, don't get me wrong, but I want to see these matches. But on the other hand, you have to try and see the bigger picture also. And yeah, maybe there's an argument. Maybe there are specific arguments about Kerry coming out the wrong end this year. I mean, Kerry are the team everyone wants to see. I mean, I was in Newbridge the other week. I mean, the whole town wanted to see the Cliffords playing ball, and actually what they really wanted to see was the Cliffords and Sean O'Shea. But obviously we were waiting on Sean O'Shea, but you have to try and see these things in the round too.
Yeah. Okay, John, Oireachtas Committee came out this week. A huge amount of work has gone into this over the last number of years. Lots of issues at play, but they very strongly recommended the decriminalisation of possession of all drugs for personal use. TDs and centres across the board, cross-party, they said Section 3 of the Misuse Drugs Act should be repealed, noting how the vast body of evidence suggests decriminalisation is unlikely to lead to an increase in consumption. Will this happen, John? And what's the reaction been politically?
Well, it's not one that they're going to rush into. This arises from Citizens Assembly in 2024, 99 citizens, chaired by Paul Reid, the former chief CEO of the HSE. And they strongly recommended this. So the cross-party committee on drug, the Oireachtas TDs and senators, went through it pretty thoroughly and concurred with the Citizens Assembly. And I was quite taken by Fianna Fáil Senator Mary Fitzpatrick. Now, she's a woman who was in Bertie Ahern's shadow for a very long time in Dublin Central. And the Dublin North inner city, up around Croke Park, which happily we know quite a bit about. But that was the kind of classic drug abuse community, really, disadvantaged, marginalised parts of it. And it was a heroin issue most of the time. And she points out, now, look, it's more vastly diversified and spread out all across the country. It's cocaine, especially cannabis, prescription drugs, and new queer substances of all kinds coming in. But it's in villages and it's in towns as much as it's in the larger urban centres, you know. So there is a moment in time here, but the government's reaction to it has been a rather cautious and low-key. It's not something they're going to rush into. For example, the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, said, look, he cited the example of the Canadian province of British Columbia, and said they have recently reversed the idea of decriminalising, and they said, and they argue that decriminalising actually licenses people to use drugs, and yeah. There's more of it around the place.
But it's clear, John, that people want, and the TD senators and the Citizens Assembly, they want a treatment-led approach. I mean, I don't know if you've been down the courts lately, but I was down there last year for one day watching the different cases, and some of the people coming before the courts, 40, 50, 60 convictions in the throes of an addiction, small stuff, small shoplifting, sent to prison for 6 months, an absolute waste of everybody's time and not helping anyone. That needs to be tackled, doesn't it?
It does, yes. It just messes up people's lives. It doesn't make anything any better for for society at large. So, yes, absolutely true. And if you do wind up in the courts, sitting there looking at it, I have fairly recently. Governments are very, very slow. This one comes around periodically. You know, I mean, I remember some years ago, the head of Interpol, a dangerous radical, he said it's time to...
change focus. Do it a different way. The war on drugs is lost, and fight it a different way to try and beat it.
Yeah. There is another point here, though. If you go with an entirely sort of treatment-led approach, you would have to have far more treatment facilities, and maybe that's exactly what we need, and maybe that's, you know, exactly the way we have to go. But I don't see the government rushing any fences on this one. Maybe it's as well, because maybe we need you know, to fully think this thing through and look at all the aspects of it.
Yeah. Okay, John, listen, we're out of time. We'll talk again next week. Thanks a million for going through Thorfinn the Dolphin. That's John Downing with us on the line. If you have a view on what he had to say on those issues, get in touch. We've more on the way.